We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM, the Fan, WFAN.
9:04 on a Saturday night, you're probably, you know, easing into your night, right? You don't want to get too excited. It's all good. Sit back, watch a little baseball. That's what I'm doing right now. The Rays have a 2-0 lead. Willie Adames just made a fantastic play. Rays have a little early mojo going, but you know, maybe you're sitting back. A little nice cup of tea or beverage, and you just want to relax, right? Well, this is not relaxing time because nobody is bouncing off the walls more as we watch a Game 7 and get ready for another Game 7 than my guy, Nick Swisher. Swish, how you doing?
Yo, sweet. What's good, baby? What's happening, brother?
You got to be bouncing off the walls. Who loves baseball more than us? And this is what we get, right?
Oh, 100%, man. If you are a sports fan, baby, it is your time right now. We've been having double dip NFL, you know, Monday night games. We've got the ALCS, the NLCS, NHL just finished up. LeBron won his fourth championship. Like, this time of year, this is when sports are at its best, at their best, no doubt.
All right, so tell us what you're still doing some stuff for Fox. You've got some stuff lined up for the World Series, which starts Tuesday. You're on all their digital platforms. Give us where do we find you, and what are we going to see?
I'm going to do the watch party for Fox Sports, which is amazing. You can go on the Fox Sports app, download the app. We've made a lot of great changes to that, which has been awesome. And so for myself, it's going to be me. Tino Martinez is going to be hosting along with me.
Nice.
And all my friends, man, throughout baseball and just in life. I got a bunch of celebrities calling in. Rick Ankiel is going to help host. I think Boomer Wells, I think, is going to host as well. So we're going to have a good time, man. Talk about the game. Enjoy the game. Answer some questions from the fans and really just enjoy it, man, because come on, man, World Series time, it takes me to nothing but an awesome place. And to bring along somebody like Tino Martinez that brings along four rings of his own is pretty awesome, man. We definitely can give you some insight on watching the game and maybe how baseball players talk about it a little differently than the average person would.
That's fantastic. This is all in the Fox Sports app starting next week, right?
Yes, sir. Yep. Starting on. Well, as a matter of fact, bro, we're actually going to start tomorrow night.
Dodgers won,
force game 7. So we're going to do it, man. Me and Tino, and I think Ricky Ankiel is going to be on there too, man.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Should be a really, really good time, man.
So looking ahead to game 7, you know, Ian Anderson, he's made a really big impact in a short period of time. And one of the things I've talked about already tonight is, you know, I thought the Braves might have gotten a little bit of advantage against the Dodgers because rather than throwing out pitchers that the Dodgers have a history against, like Foltynewicz or Cole Hamels or, you know, Soroka, anybody like that, they've thrown some guys out there the Dodgers haven't seen before. And now Ian Anderson, who pitched very well, they got to look at him in game 2. So now he comes back for game 7. Now he pitched very well, but do you believe that the Braves have had some sort of advantage because they've had talented pitchers who the Dodgers haven't seen before, even if they're not experienced? And 2, do the Dodgers even that out a little bit now that they've gotten their first look at Ian Anderson?
Yeah, no doubt, man. I mean, definitely the second time around is a lot easier than the first. You know, the first time you get in the batter's box against somebody, there's a lot of question marks. Like, you know how much his breaking ball breaks, but how much does it really break in the batter's box? So to get that perception definitely helps out for sure. I wouldn't say they had an advantage. I just think the Braves got hot as a firecracker, bro. I mean, they were 7-0 right out of the gates in the playoffs before you could even blink your eyes. And by the way, I mean, that's exactly what you got to do going up against a team like, you know, the Los Angeles Dodgers. You got to stand up to the bully, right?
Yeah.
So I think with where they are right now, these young pitchers, I mean, for me, bro, this year more than any year, I turn on a game and I'm like, who's that? Who's that?
Yeah, who's that?
And they're all throwing 98 miles an hour and they're all nasty. And I'm looking at Joe and I'm like, man, I am so happy I'm retired right now. You know what I mean? Because I don't want to be in the batter's box against those guys. So, yes, I definitely think that you are seeing these kind of, I guess, soon-to-be superstars really kind of pop up at these early ages because it's a young man's game. You know, I mean, this has kind of been one of those crazy years. You kind of had to stay healthy all season long through spring training, obviously summer camp, and now the season and the postseason. That's a lot, man. This is a lot of stress that these guys are put under. They've sacrificed a lot. And I think also too being a young guy may help you a little bit more because you're kind of like, oh, hell yeah, man. This is how it is. Sweet, man. Yeah. Let's go, right? We go to the hotel, hang out with the guys all the time, right? Like just kicking it, enjoying it. That's great. But, you know, like when you're a veteran, you're kind of like, damn, man, this is crazy, right? You know, like we're staying in a hotel. I haven't seen my family in weeks. So I think everything that these guys did to get us to this point, you know, pat on the back to those guys, man. But I definitely don't think there's definitely any advantages. I think the Braves have been knocking on the door for a couple of years now, and now they're really starting to get to that point where they could push that door open.
You know, for as much as we think about the Dodgers as a pitching-rich organization, you know, they still are a little short, it seems, in just depth because you think, okay, you're going to get to this game now. They're going to throw somebody at you. They've got some arms, but it's a bunch of them. You know, it's not like they have one guy ready to go out there and throw game seven at you, and you're kind of quaking. I almost feel like the Braves are kind of set up pretty well with their relievers, too. They haven't been overworked these last couple of days because of the games they've lost. I don't know if that's an advantage either, but, you know, I feel like the Braves are in pretty good shape going into this game seven.
Oh, yeah, bro. Well, I mean, you know more than me, man. Like, I mean, covering this day in and day out, there's no off day, Swing.
Yeah.
And, like, we're used to having, like, 2 and 3 off days through these series so you can actually stack your bullpen and you know exactly when they're going to get days off. That's what's interesting about this year. So I think with what these guys, you know, I mean, that's such a strategic thing. I mean, even for myself, you know, with aspirations to be a future manager here down the road, that's the hardest thing about being a manager is learning how to navigate through your bullpen, learning how to find outs when the outs aren't always exactly there. And especially in some of these lopsided games, you've had the ability to kind of rest a few guys. But I still think, man, it's definitely going to come down to it. I mean, you're going to see Clayton Kershaw at some point coming in that game. I'm not quite sure when he's going to be in, but he's definitely going to throw a few innings because the Dodgers at this point have come so far. If you have to scratch out 2 outs with somebody, that's exactly what you're going to do because game seven, man, you know, they say it all the time. There's no better 2 words in sports than game seven. They're going to be scratching and clawing and doing their best to find as many outs as they can.
You know, the one thing we hear a lot about a hitter who has a resume and might be struggling, the pitcher on the mound still knows who that hitter is and is still a little fearful of him. Does it work the same way when you've got Clayton Kershaw, who's maybe not, you know, the Clayton Kershaw we know? His Hall of Fame plaque isn't what's going to the mound in a postseason game. It's a guy who's been a little spotty in the postseason. Does the same fear factor that you think of when a hitter walks up apply to the pitcher on the mound?
I think, you know, as much as I hate to say it, yeah, I'd be a little worrisome, right? I definitely would do my best not to try and put him in the most stressful of situations. Mm-hmm. I would try to give him an open highway, a clean inning, maybe a start to an inning, give him a 1-2-3, right? Get him out of there. I think, you know, over the past couple of years, he's kind of gotten himself in trouble by pitching one more inning, pitching one more batter. I think that's where he's kind of gotten himself in trouble. I mean, the thing about it is he's such an amazing guy and he's such an amazing leader on the field, in his community, like all over the place. To see him struggle in the postseason the way he has, you're just waiting for him to break through and just thinking that, like, this is going to be the game. But it just doesn't always happen. You know what I mean? So I think for him right there, man, I definitely think that's something that Dave Roberts is definitely going to have to navigate through 100% because you can't put him in a big situation because I can promise you that if he puts Clayton Kershaw in a huge situation and it goes wrong, he could lose his job.
There's a lot at stake here. I'm watching game seven here, and I just watched Jose Altuve bounce another throw.
That ball again?
Dude, what happened?
He got the thing, bro. He's got the thing. I don't even know what else to say, but you remember when Chuck Knobloch got that there for a minute?
Sure do.
right?
Yeah.
I mean, even, you know, one of my buddies who's actually going to help me, you know, host the show, Rick Ankiel. I mean, he knows all about that. And what's crazy, I think, is that it comes from, it doesn't matter where it is, whether it's a pitcher. I mean, bro, we're talking about two second basemen, right?
Yeah.
At the top of their game, Knobloch and Altuve. And, bro, Altuve looks like he's shot putting balls across the infield. You know what I mean?
Just did. And, you know, listen, Knobloch's thing materialized over a long period of time from the middle of the season on, and the Yankees dealt with over the course of a couple of years. I mean, this came out of nowhere, Swish. Where did this come from?
This thing's like a nasty zit, bro. It just popped up out of nowhere, bro. Like, right before prom, right? Right before senior pictures. Like, at the worst time. You know what I'm saying? Like, at the worst time, you got a zit, and you're looking in the mirror, and you're going, you've got to be kidding me, bro.
Oh.
That's exactly what I'm sure every one of his guys on his team are thinking when a ground ball gets hit to him. Is, oh, my gosh, bro. Oh, my. You know, like, you don't know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially for him, man. He's got if I'm not mistaken, I think he's got a gold glove.
Yeah, he does. I mean, like, sure does. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That's crazy, bro. Crazy.
So on the other side of this, you know what it's like, not on this stage, because you didn't do it on this stage, and I mean the hot streak, but when you're as hot as Randy Arozarena, and the games are this meaningful, what does it feel like?
Oh, bro, how dope is that name, by the way?
Oh, yeah.
Right? It's just like
exactly.
It rolls off the tongue.
Yep.
Arozarena! It just makes sense when you say it, you know? I think this is amazing, man. I think when I first kind of saw him in a Tampa Bay uniform this year, it caught me off guard because I was like, man, I could have sworn that dude. I seen him last year in the postseason with St. Louis Cardinals, right? But
yep.
You know,
Mike Zunino.
Just popped him right there.
That's Zunino right there.
Wow.
The Rays are bringing it.
Bro, are you seeing how far these baseballs are going nowadays?
Yeah, they're title. I think it says Titleist on it.
Are they that much stronger than we were, or is it just like totally different? Because I'm thinking to myself, like, bro, I don't think I can hit a 7-iron up there. You feel me? Like, these dudes are hitting balls into the fifth deck at all these stadiums and making these ballparks. Like my dad used to say, he shrunk the ballpark. You know,
you were also
deep anymore.
You were uppercutting to a degree, but not like, I mean, you were still after the perfect swing was line drive. You were not launch angle yet while you were playing.
Yeah, and you know what? And I think a lot of the successful guys out there aren't really thinking of launch angle, right? If you look at Mookie Betts, Mookie Betts doesn't have an uppercut swing. He has a swing that goes right through the zone, and I think that's kind of it. I think for myself, even when I teach all my young kids that I mentor and work with, I talk about bat speed and barrel control. Because if you're able to keep yourself steady and you're able to keep yourself sturdy right over the plate, all you have to do is meet that baseball. Just like Reggie Jackson used to say, swish, that ball's already up there, baby. All you got to do is touch it, you know? So I think nowadays with the power going up and the velocity going up, the quickness of your swing and the accuracy of your barrel is definitely where it needs to be.
Mike Zunino with a solo homer to give the Rays a 3-0 lead, second inning. Lance McCullers still on, and no bullpen activity yet for Dusty Baker's Astros. You know, this could change a million different times between now and the end of the game, but the Astros are a team that nobody really wants to see win this year, Swish, and we all know why. What kind of a dynamic has it been for you watching this team make this run in the postseason when nobody's really rooting for them?
Yeah, totally, man. Well, I've actually had it on a few of my Instagram posts over the last couple of days. And I said, you know, after, you know, what is it, game three, I'm just thinking to myself, like, this is the time, bro, finally. Like, karma is catching up to the Houston Astros, right? Like, for everything that they did, like, this is their time. It's got to come back and bite you in the ass at some point, right?
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden they go on this crazy run. And then I say last night after the game, I'm watching the game, and I'm looking and I'm saying, you know what? You know what pisses me off most about that cheating scandal is that these guys didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
They didn't have to cheat. You know what I'm saying? Like, they have a squad. They have talent out the gazoo, right? It's like they have everything there. It's like you didn't have to do that. You see what I'm saying? So now it's like they're on this redemption tour to kind of tell everybody, like, hey, we're just as good when we don't cheat. Well, then why did you need to cheat in the first place?
Right.
I think that's the thing. That's the most frustrating part, because you see a guy like Carlos Correa, and you've noticed he's made a little adjustment in his batting stance. He's got his arms a little bit away from his body. He's using Maldonado's bat. he's freeing himself up. He's letting that 6'4" frame do what it's supposed to do. And when he goes off on runs like this, I'm like, bro, like a guy like me, bro, I would have loved to have seen what was coming, bro. You know what I'm saying? Then I might have been a perennial all-star every year. You know what I'm saying? But like, these dudes have the talent. They don't have to do that, you know? So I can definitely understand why a lot of people are upset with the Houston Astros, because in a case like that, you're looking at, you're like, wow, man, like, did you really need to do that? It's like Mike Tyson back in the day, like taking steroids. You feel me? It's like he didn't need to do that. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I just think now, man, I think, you know, the Astros they're in definitely a crazy spot. I think that, you know, just with everybody's energy and everybody's kind of thoughts in a negative way against them, I did not see. I mean, come on, bro. They finished the regular season 29-31.
Yeah.
So it's like there's no way that you thought the Houston Astros were going to be successful this year. No Verlander. We stole Cole, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
It's like we've got him. You know, the position players, I mean, I think Altuve hit like two and some change this year, like two and some little change. So for them to go through everything that they did this year, there's no way that I thought they would have this run in the postseason that they're having now. So I think for them, man, as much as sometimes I hate to say it, like you got to be proud of those guys, because those guys found a way to rally around each other amidst all the adversity that they're going through. And now they're one game away from going to the World Series, bro. It's crazy.
And the Rays have taken a jump on them. It's 3-0 after two innings. Rays led the Astros in Game 7. If you missed it, the Dodgers and Braves are going to Game 7. Dodgers with a 3-1 victory earlier tonight in Game 6. Sweeney Murdy on the Fan. A few minutes with Nick Swisher, in case you didn't recognize that energetic voice on the other end of the phone. We've done this. I don't think we've chatted like this on the radio since last year. I know we did in London, but it's been a little while. But we got a chance to share some time in spring training, and you saw how, I mean, as a special instructor, special assistant in spring training, you saw the vibe the Yankees were carrying into the original spring training. When the season, listen, the season went haywire for everybody, but when it ended the way it did and the Yankees were on the losing end against the Rays, you know, what are some of your thoughts on how this broke down again for the Yankees coming up short again this year?
I mean, it's tough, man. You go into the postseason, you don't have all your horses in the stable, right? I mean, you've got your number one, you've got Cole, he's ready to roll, but there's not that number two guy that comes into play, right? Tanaka's always been amazing in the postseason. This year he struggled a little bit. Paxton was hurt. Jay Happ didn't perform the way that I'm sure he would have wanted to. But I think at the end of the day, it's tough, man. Like, you know, a lot of things have to fall in place to win a World Series. And I think with where we are right now, I side with Booney on this. I think we really need to focus on the fact that we're knocking on that door. And just like a lot of these other teams, the Tampa Bay Rays, for example, have been knocking on that door for the last two or three years. And now all of a sudden they find themselves in the driver's seat to represent the American League in the World Series. So I think with where we are right now as an organization, I think there's definitely some things that need to be addressed this offseason. And I know Cash and Hal are very aware of that. But I think there's some things that can make this team better. And, bro, I mean, for the fact that, like, Brian Cashman has put that sort of product out on the field year in and year out, and it hasn't worked, is shocking to me. Because when you look at the New York Yankees every year, Vegas odds are to win the World Series. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're either number one, number two, or number three at the lowest every single year. So there's got to be something that we can do as an organization to get our guys over the hump. Because the talent is there. We just got to find a way to really kind of, you know, make all those, cross all those wires and make everything work the way that we know it can.
One of the points that I made yesterday, or earlier in the week, and I made yesterday on MLB Network too, is I put up the lineup the Yankees put out there for Game 6 of the 2009 World Series. You were there. Yankees beat the Phillies in Game 6, last World Series championship. And I put up the lineup that the Yankees put out there in their final game against the Rays, Game 5. And what stands out is that the balance in the 09 lineup is really kind of majestic with all the switch hitters and left-handed hitters, and the Yankees now lean very right. There are certain reasons for them, some calculated, some not. Some are by accident, just by circumstance. You end up with some good players who happen to be right-handed. But I remember, you know, you and Teixeira used to talk to me about how a lineup full of switch hitters will wreck bullpens. And that's what that team did. Now, a balanced lineup is not what the Yankees are throwing out there right now. Certainly some good hitters, but they've been shut down by strong right-handed pitching multiple times now in a postseason, whereas in a regular season you can get away from it. Is there a way, is the way the lineup is being built right now still able to get you to that extra step and knock down the door, or does there have to, do you think there has to be a little more balance to it like there was when you won a World Series with the team?
100%. I definitely think that the lineup is there. I think the one thing that you're seeing is you're seeing a lot of similar hitters all in the lineup. I definitely think there needs to be a little diversity within the lineup. But I feel like that's why you have your Brett Gardners, right? Your DJ LeMahieu's, right? You know, like being able to have guys that put the ball in play. And I think that's exactly what you got to do. I think most of the times, you know, I mean, other than this Rays series, which is kind of crazy, they've punched out a whole lot more than the Houston Astros have.
Yeah.
Usually when you put the ball in play in these postseason games, those are the teams that usually end up winning, right? I mean, you heard Dusty Baker talking about it. He says that the winner of this game is the team that ends up getting the two-out hit.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, you know, I think where it's at. I think for myself, I would, if I was a manager, I would love to have a plethora of different types of hitters, right? I'd love to have my, you know, my contact guy, my, you know, I think nowadays it's a whole different ball game. For me, you know, sometimes in the postseason, you might have to, you know, kind of make things happen. You can't always sit back and wait on the 3-run homer because it doesn't always come. Sometimes you have to maybe hit and run, maybe a bunt. I think you saw the Astros open the door up the other night, you know, when Maldonado put that bunt down. Next thing you know, George Springer gets a base hit to right, 2 runs in, and the floodgates open. So I think sometimes maybe if you're in that position of, you know, kind of being stalemated a little bit, you know, facing those tough righties, you know, maybe sometimes you might have to make a little adjustment, kind of make something happen, maybe go back to that, I don't even say it, that kind of like that old school baseball, moving runners, giving yourself an opportunity, because they don't always come. It's hard to string 2 and 3 hits against these guys, man. I mean, they're amazing. So to be able to do that, sometimes you have to utilize what you got. And I think for us, man, we got a bunch of power right-handed bats, and when we're on, we are absolutely nasty. We are savages in the box. But sometimes when we're not, you know, it can be a little frustrating.
I give the Astros a little bit of credit for just the, you know, listen, part of it was circumstance. Okay, their 9-hitter, Maldonado, was the guy up with 2 outs, nobody on. Good, you know, perfect situation. And Springer did something that I didn't think was possible. Swish, you know, I mean, he went the other way, which isn't as easy as it sounds sometimes. He lightened up his swing. He didn't hit the ball all that hard. Everybody wants to take an A swing. He did not take his A swing. Now, that, you know, I give him credit for doing that, but that's not how people are taught nowadays, because you want more control over your swing and hit the ball hard as opposed to putting some more luck and chance into it by hitting the ball with a lesser swing.
Yeah, well, I think nowadays, man, you know, everything is really magnified. It's hard because you can't argue against the number, right? It's like you can't argue against data. You can't argue about, you know, over something science, you know, science related, right? It is what it is, and it's right there in front of your eyes to see. Sometimes there's some X factors that pop into those equations as well. And, I mean, I even think of myself, I'm even thinking of, you know, the St. Louis Cardinals back in the day with David Eckstein. Was the World Series MVP, right? You think he was launch angling ball?
Right,
I think so. You know, I think that's the thing. I think sometimes you can get caught up in the wrong things, and I think that, you know, I think that we're teaching kids that hitting home runs is the only way, and I don't think that's the case. I think somebody that's able to consistently put the ball in play, I think that adds a lot of value. But I think nowadays, especially when a lot of these guys are struggling in the postseason, right? I mean, it would be nice to be able to have a swing in your bag like Tiger Woods does, just kind of like that knockdown driver, right? Got a little baby fade. It's like, you know, it works every time, especially when they're putting the shift on. This is what I propose. At the end of 2021, the collective bargaining agreement is up, correct? So I say what we do. I say we get away with the shift. I say we do away with the shift.
You're going to legislate against the shift? You're going to tell the defense they can't do what gets a hitter out?
Well, I know. It's hard. It's hard, right? Maybe you can't play one guy on the other side of second base.
Yeah.
And I think what we're doing, Swings, we're creating one style of hitter. That's it. There's no
variety. All right, but let me put it to you this way. If you're going to legislate this, where are they allowed to stand? Are they allowed to stand one step over? Do they have to stay there until contact is made? Are they allowed to move when the ball is thrown? How are you legislating that?
I haven't thought that deep on it, bro. I really haven't.
Yeah, I hear you. I just don't think it's feasible.
I know. Well, that's what I'm saying, because the numbers, it goes against what, you know, what you're trying to tell me. Like, hey, man, I have a 48% chance or a 59% chance of getting somebody out if I play here. Believe me, bro, it's like going to Vegas. I'm going to take the odds.
Yeah, why is the defense not allowed to do it? If I know you're hitting it there, why am I not allowed to stand there, brother?
I don't know. I just think that you're creating one style of hitter. And you're teaching every kid in the world that you need to hit the ball in the air because the numbers say it's better for you to do that.
Well, that's not
what Tony Gwynn thought. That's not what Rod Carew thought. That's not what some of the greatest hitters in baseball thought. So I don't know, man. I think that the different style of hitter is not there anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, the Juan Pierres of the world, they're not out there as much anymore. Your leadoff hitters are now George Springer.
Yeah, different athletes, right? Different style of athlete.
Totally different athletes. So, I mean, you know me, bro. I mean, if you want to stay with the game, you got to keep up with the times.
Yeah.
And for me, you know, I mean, I love it. I just think at the end of the day, maybe trying to find, you know, a little, you know, kind of like a different way to approach the game, I think, you know, could be fun, right? You know what I mean? Maybe you can only have, I'm trying to think, first baseman, second baseman, right fielder, and center fielder. So you can only have four guys on the right side of second base. You know what I'm saying? Right? Maybe you could do a rule like that.
I think you figure out just by the way we're talking. I disagree with you, but I respect having this conversation with you. I got a couple more for Nick Swisher, and you can catch him on the watch party with FoxSports.com, the Fox Sports app. Tino Martinez, David Wells, a bunch of others will be joining him along the way for Game 7 tomorrow night in the National League and in the World Series all next week, which begins Tuesday on Fox we don't know yet because none of these series have been settled. Listen, you were a pretty good fastball hitter in your day, right? If all of a sudden you couldn't hit a fastball, I mean, I'm looking at Gary Sanchez, who the velocity just seemed to defeat him all of a sudden this year. The one thing he could do, catch up to fastballs, he's not hitting velocity all of a sudden. How much does that get in your head, and what would happen if all of a sudden, and I'm not talking as you got older and maybe it was, okay, that was telling you it was time to go. You're still a young man. All of a sudden, fastballs are getting by you. What does that do to you as a hitter, Swish?
I mean, I can tell you it happened to me after I had my knee surgeries, bro. I just couldn't catch up to the cheese anymore. And that is definitely an extremely deflating feeling. Now, if I'm Gary Sanchez, that's not what I'm thinking, right? You know what I mean? Like, I think that, you know, you got to remember, man, Gary's been through a lot, right? He's had three different catching coaches in 4 years, right? They've got him doing different stuff all the time. They've asked him to try and up his defensive game in a way that he's not used to. So now it's completely affecting every part of his game. Right? Yeah. It's like he's one of those guys that, by the way, you know, you think to yourself, like, hey, Gary, man, hey, we know you're not going to be the greatest defensive catcher out there, but guess what, man? You're one of the best offensive weapons that we got, bro. Go out there and mash, and this defensive stuff, we'll figure it out, no doubt.
Yeah.
But then again, I look in the postseason, and I see Higgy back there catching, you know, Garrett Cole, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, man, a defensive catcher back there looks really, really good. You know what I mean? So I think it's kind of like, what are you looking for, right? Like, what does your organization want? Do you want the Atlanta Braves, you know, Tyler Flowers, Travis d'Arnaud back there that can frame with the best of them?
Yep.
Or do you want, you know, like you're saying, like a New York Yankee, right? Like a Gary Sanchez going to hit you 30, 40 home runs a year, you know, when he's healthy.
Yeah.
You know, I think right now there's not a whole lot of dual threat, you know, catchers in the game. I mean, JT Realmuto, but like, he's almost like a unicorn, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, he calls his own games, right? He's a field general offensively. He's a cleanup hitter. Like, guys like that don't show up very often. So I think you really need to kind of figure out what you're looking for, because I think the one thing that we should take a lot of pride in is our pitching staff. Like, we got some nasty guys. Our bullpen is phenomenal. And, you know, I mean, I think when you look at that catcher position, and I think they will look very hardly at that catcher situation this offseason, what are you going to do? Does Gary Sanchez have value if you look to shop him? Or are you saying, you know what, this year was a crazy year. You know, Gary went through a lot. Next year, 2021, that's our guy's year, right? So I think, you know, they got to sit down and figure out exactly what they're going to do, because I think Gary Sanchez is one of those guys that once you figure out how to unlock the door – and get into him. I saw it firsthand, 2006 in Triple-A. This dude is phenomenal. You've seen it on the big league level.
Yep.
I mean, he's got so much skill, and I think that it's become a lot a real mental battle with him, and sometimes you can almost kind of see his brain kind of working. I just think he needs to get back to being the type of guy he is, playing swaggy, having fun, popping the chains, getting his bat right, because I think that's where his real value is.
I got just one more for you, Swish.
Where's that one series ring? Night,
I know. Isn't that fun? We'll do it again. Listen, I'm going to have more of these eventually, and I'll call you back, okay? We'll do
all
it again.
Right, sounds like a plan, bro.
Where's your World Series ring? What do you do with it?
I got it right next to the computer, bro. I brought it back out of the safe, dude. World Series time, you know?
So you keep it in a safe, and now it's here for show, right?
Oh, yeah, bro. Yeah, I got to break it out every now and then, man. Just let them know. You know what I'm saying?
That's it.
Just to let them know real quick, you know?
When you want to get some attention, you know, going out to a party with Joe. Everyone's paying attention to Joe. She's got a new show, premiere, this and that.
Oh, my God.
Hey,
I know,
check
bro.
This
I'm
out,
a nobody.
Guys.
I'm a nobody in my house these days, bro, for real. I'm like, I'm just riding her coattails, my man. She is killing life right now. I'm so proud of her.
That's excellent. What's she got in the pipeline? Is there a new show coming out soon?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, season 2, Sweet Magnolias.
Yeah, on Netflix, right?
Yeah, they're gonna start filming. I think in March. Wow. I don't think they wanted to film in the wintertime.
Sure.
But I think just for her, man, you know, it's just like she supported me my whole career, right? Like
yeah.
The whole second half of my career, she was with me. And now for me to be able to be in the same spot that she was to really support her, man, it's cool. Because it's like, wow, you know, like to really kind of experience it from both sides. And right now, man, she's so happy. You know, work is going great. We've gotten to spend a lot of time with our kids, really be like full-time parents, not hopping on a plane every 5 or 6 days and going somewhere. It's been a lot of fun to be home and really be a family, which has been awesome.
Swish, it is great hearing your voice. Great talking to you. I wish the time goes quickly till we can see each other again. And say hi to Joe. And, yeah, listen, I could do this all day, too, with you. I know you can. You don't run out of air. So we do this again. I will you know, keep that phone on because I'll be buzzing you and
you
getting
it.
Back on air.
You got
okay?
it, bro. Hey, man, you just tell your Nittany Lions, bro, get ready this year. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we'll talk before that game, no doubt.
You know what I'm saying? You know them Buckeyes. You know them boys are ready.
Hey, how come? Listen, I made like my $10 donation. How come my name's not on the baseball field or football field, huh? What happened there?
I know. I could put you in there. It could be the Nick Swisher and Sweetie Murdy.
Oh, there you
field,
go.
You know what I'm saying?
Let's do it. Hey, listen, that's okay. I'm going to take advantage of your celebrity there, and I'm going to sit in your box when the football
that's
game
right.
comes up, okay?
Any time you go, baby, you got those seats for sure.
All right, Swish, we're going to be watching the Fox Sports app. You, Tino Martinez, the watch party tomorrow night for Game 7 National League World Series next week, which starts on Tuesday. Enjoy, have fun, and we will talk soon. Big hugs, brother.
All right, brother. Big hugs to you, baby, and your family, my man. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, kid. That's Nick Swisher. You remember him well. And boy, isn't that just – I mean, you got to smile. Just listen to the guy, right? Even if I do disagree with him on rules changes about defense, come on, man. You can't tell the defense where not to play. Not to play when they know it's going there. Figure out a different way. That's great.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.